10. Mark chapter number 10. If you would please open your Bible to the book of Mark chapter number 10. And we'll see here some scripture here in the Word of God. I want to preach about the kids this morning. And this is a message that he's preached at youth camp, different places. And I'd like for the parents here this morning, to every one of you, get a new, fresh burden for your children. It's not like it was years ago. People say, oh, it ain't no different than it was when we was coming up. It is different, too. Way different. These kids nowadays are coming up in a different world. I was out visiting yesterday. We was at an apartment complex over in Morganton. And there's all kinds of play toys out there that the city, I guess, or somebody has there. Seesaws. Remember seesaws? Kids nowadays don't even know what that is. Like merry-go-round, a big old sliding board. You just climb up that way and slide down. And basketball goals. And all of that stuff out there. There was not one kid out there playing. You say, well, what does that mean? I mean, 15 years ago, I visited that same place 12 years ago, and there's kids running all over that place. Well, we're doing, we're raising a generation of kids that don't go outside and play. If it's 72 degrees, it's too hot. If it's 69°, it's cold. We tolerate no inconvenience for our flesh. We go ahead and eat before we feel that first hunger pain because we might feel a hunger pain. Put it right. You don't mean to just preach this morning or just put it on one sentence. We're a bunch of brats in this country this morning. God's been good to us. And we don't appreciate what He's done. It worried me. That place looked like a ghost town. You wouldn't think nobody lived there. I know there's kids. They're all in there on them. We went in the place and they're just like this, playing, doing this like that. They ain't going to have no sense and they ain't going to have no social skills and they're going to be weird and the sun's going to hurt their light, but their thumbs are going to have a lot of muscles in them. You don't have to worry about their thumbs. They're going to be fine. We're going to have the healthiest bunch of thumbs in history of this generation. But Lord have mercy, everything else is way back, ain't it? So this morning, I want to talk to you, parents and kids alike, about why our kids need what we're going to have here tonight. Why kids need Christ. It would shock us this morning that the people that would not get up and bring their kids to church this morning, but they'll have them at that school early tomorrow morning and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday. And I want to preach this morning about why kids need Christ. Why kids need Christ. Too many mamas and daddies have got this attitude of, oh, they're just little. Let them have fun. They'll grow up. Then they'll make that decision. I'll preach about why kids need Christ. Mark chapter 10, look at verse 13. Mark chapter 10 and verse 13. And the Bible said there, and they brought young children to Him. These children were not able to come on their own. Somebody had to bring them. That's what we'll be doing tonight. I hope that you'll help me. Get your car full. And they brought young children to Him. Why? That He should touch them. And His disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, He was much displeased. Did you know that's the only time in the Bible that it said Jesus was much displeased? It don't say He was much displeased when the Pharisees brought the woman in adultery. It don't say He was much displeased when they mocked Him and made light of what He claimed. But when these people were bringing kids and they said, leave them kids. Don't bring them kids in here. He was much displeased. That shows you how the Lord feels about bringing kids to church. One lady told me one time, she said, I'm going to quit coming to your church on Sunday morning. And I said, why? She said, you just got too many kids in there. They're running all over the place. I said, well, lady, we'd love to have you. And I mean, she's well-to-do and had diamond rings and everything. But I said, listen, if you're waiting for us to quit bringing the kids, you're in the wrong church. The Lord wanted them kids here. The Lord wants little kids, poor kids. Kids from across the track. White kids, black kids, yellow kids, brown kids. The Lord wants little boys and girls to come to church and learn about Him. Say amen right there. That's right. They may be more important than that banker or lawyer to Him this morning. Now the Lord said they brought them. Now, I want to preach this morning on why kids need Christ. Three things this morning I'll say, and I'll be done. They need, you say, well, Brother Danny, are you saying school is not important? No. Kids need to go to school. But they need Christ more than they need school. Kids need to grow up and learn manners, how to function in our society, get a job and work. But they need Christ more than they need the custom of our society. Kids need to learn how to work and do all these other things. But they need Christ. Your kid needs Christ. If you're a parent who thinks it's more important for your kid to go to a ball game than it is to come and get something from Jesus, this message is definitely for you. Because your priorities are misplaced. Your kids need Christ. Only three little simple things I'll say this morning, and we'll break, we'll go pray, and try to bring a bunch of them in here tonight. Number one, you know why I say kids need Christ? Because the younger you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, the more heartache and trouble and sorrow you save yourself in later years in life. Many times we go to crusades or we go to revivals or something, and you'll see it on TV like a Billy Graham or something. They'll have a guy stand up. He's been on drugs 20 years, and he's got this big and that's good. He got delivered. Or you'll hear a football player, and this football player got saved and found the Lord and got his life straightened out. And everybody said, that's just the most wonderful. Oh, how wonderful that. And it is good. I'm not taking away from that. You know who's got the best testimony? You know, the best testimony in the church is an adult who can stand up and say, you know what? I grew up in church. My mama took me to church when I was 2 and 3 and 4 and 5. And when I was 6 years old, I heard the gospel at Bible school. And I got saved. And I've been in church all my life. And I'm 70 now. And I'm ready to die. And I never got out and partied. I never got on drugs. I never got in trouble. I never got arrested. I've been in church all my life. That's all I know. Listen, you don't beat a testimony like that. That's the greatest testimony there is. A lot of times we're guilty of glorifying somebody's testimony who went to drug through the mud to hide their life, and then you got saved. And I understand that. And we ought to give God the glory. But it's a great testimony. Brother Max, his mother went home to be with the Lord this week, last weekend. And I went over there to the funeral service the other evening, and she was 95 years old. She was a founding member of the church, Rocky Pass Free Will Baptist Church up there in Nebo. And this, I read the little thing, said she taught Sunday school for 67 years. She never knew. I'm sure probably never knew what the inside of a club looked like. Probably never knew what alcohol tasted like. Probably never knew, I'm sure, what cocaine or meth or any kind of drug. That's a testimony, brother. That's a testimony. And the reason we bring kids to the Lord is so that it might save them the heartache of all the things that you might go through. Listen, I got saved when I was 18. And the only regret I got is I didn't get saved at 12 or 10 or 8. I'm glad to say this morning, the younger you come to Jesus Christ, the better off you'll be down in life. I had an Aunt B. My Aunt B got saved when she was 5 years old. She lived for the Lord her whole life and died when she was 82. Never been in trouble. Never got. You say, boy, what a boring life. No, what a great life. That's why we bring kids to God. This philosophy that you might as well let them get out and sow their wild oats and then they'll figure it out. That's a wrong philosophy. It's never okay for them to go out and experience. Well, they got to find out what's out there sooner or later, preacher. No, they don't neither. They don't need to experiment with every sin in the world. They don't need to know. The Bible said, be wise concerning good and simple concerning that which is evil. You've heard me tell the story. A young man up there in Nebo several years ago, he was driving out. Him and this boy went and got some beer, and he was drinking on Halloween night. He was 16 years old. He was all popular in high school. He's on the football team, wrestled, and I mean, had a big strong arm, real good looking guy. He could get any girl he wanted, and popular in school. And him and his buddy was out and was drinking. And they come around a curve on one of them old curvy roads that goes up like that and flipped that car over, turned up, wound up in the ditch, came down on top of him, broke his neck and back in like three different places, his back vertebra. He laid there in the hospital in Asheville. Somebody called me. Somebody was calling everybody knew about it. People was praying all over the country. They told his parents, they said, if he lives another day or so, it'll be a miracle. I mean, he was healthy. He could run. He had muscles strong. Is any of you guys here this morning? Not a thing wrong with him. Now he's laying in Asheville over there then. Nearly died. Well, they prayed and they prayed and God spared him. He got a little bit better, a little bit better. I mean, for weeks, they had to strap that boy down in a bed like that. The only time he could move was when the nurses would flip that bed over like this. And he'd go like that. Then they'd flip it back over. That's the only relief for weeks and weeks. Then over to Tom's rehab there in Asheville for I don't know how long. And everybody heard about it. Them big strong muscles was about that big. Got down. His arms wasn't up here, wasn't as big as mine right there. Up here. And they brought him to church one night. I looked up and I got up to make the announcements. And they pushed that boy and brought him a wheelchair and set it right in here in the middle. And they said, that is that young man. It was a scary sight. He had messed up his life by getting in sin. And we shook his hand and we prayed and we began to pray. And we prayed and the choir started singing. And I started preaching and we sung again. And I looked back and big old tears was coming down his face. Big one just dripping off like that. He couldn't even raise his hand and wipe them. His hands wouldn't move. Feet wouldn't move because of what he got himself into. And they rolled him down to the front and we prayed with him and he got saved. And he started reading the Bible. And he finally got to where he could take his hands like this and turn the page of the Bible like that. And he read it all the time and witnessed and he preached all over the place anywhere anybody would take him. But you know what? Couldn't go out and throw a football no more. Couldn't go out and wrestle no more. Couldn't run like I'm doing like this no more. Ever, ever, ever again. I'm saying to you, if he'd have got saved younger, he could have spared himself a whole lifetime of heartache and suffering. Let me say to you, ladies and gentlemen, the younger these boys and girls get saved and stay right, the better off they're going to be in life. That's why kids need Christ. You say, you mean to tell me you believe them little 5 and 6 and 7 year olds can get saved? Absolutely, I sure do. I know our God can do anything. The Lord will save a little boy, a little girl when they come to Him by faith. Number two, you know why we believe kids need Christ? Kids need Christ because God can use kids for His glory. And does. How many of y'all sat back there this morning and thought when them little girls are singing, isn't that the sweetest thing? Some of you said, that little guy stood right there, wasn't he? Ain't he a card? You said right there, said, ain't that the cutest young? You know what? God used them kids this morning to help you and be a blessing to you. You say, well, they bring bubble gum in here and one of them wiped the booger on the seat. Yeah, well, that's better than cobwebs being in like it is in a lot of churches. Amen? I'm telling you what, brother, them kids, I mean to tell you, they'll teach you. I used to think they God given us to raise. Then I found out the Lord give us kids to help us grow up. They'll give you an education. They'll keep you on your toes. They'll ask, how many of you parents, if you want to admit it, you thought you knew a lot about the Bible and your kids stumped you with one? They'll ask you questions you can't answer. Well, these two little boys talking one time. One of them looked at his buddy and he said, man, I bet Noah sure did fish a lot when he was on that boat. That's the way little old boys think, you know. And his buddy looked back and he said, no, he didn't. He didn't have but two worms. Think about that. They ain't an adult in here would have thought that. That's the way their mind works. He remembered he learned that at church. He didn't have two words. I've got a little boy come home one time and he said, He said, Mama, Mama. She said, why are you so upset, son? You just got home from church. He said, Mama, I don't know why. He said, the preacher put his hand on me and prayed for me. She said, well, what's wrong with that? He said, the preacher prayed that I could get to be raised in a good Christian home, and heck, I won't sell you guys. Yeah, amen. You know, they're so honest. You can't fool them. They can make you feel like a hypocrite. That's why I believe kids need Christ. Because the Lord used them. One time, you've heard me tell this. I stand up in church in Marion one time. I was going to preach a great sermon. The choir got through singing, glory to God, here we go. I'm the downtown reverend. And all of a sudden, there's a little girl, a little crippled girl, stood up over here on the front row. She's about that high. And she said, I just want to thank the Lord for what He's done for you. And I mean the Holy Ghost come in that church. The power of God moved in. The Lord blessed. You know why? Because God can use kids. A lot of times us grown-ups are in the way with our so-called spirituality and our so-called Bible knowledge and our great talent. Sometimes we ought to just move out of the way. God uses little boys. He's perfected praise out of the mouth of babes, the Bible said. You know what? A lot of people don't like kids. They listen. One old boy told me something. He was out in this looking up the rainbow like this. And he said, man, don't you look at all them colors. And he said, that's right. And he said, and just think, God done all that with His left hand. He goes, what are you? Daddy said, what are you talking about? He said, that's right. God done all that painting with His left hand. He said, son, what do you mean? He said, well, the preacher said God was sitting on His right hand, or Jesus was sitting on it. Too deep for me, brother. That's too deep for me. Amen. One kid went to a funeral one time. They looked down. They put the body down in the ground. And they said, where's Papa? And they said, he's gone to heaven, son. And he looked down there and said, that heaven? That hole in the ground? No, that ain't heaven. There's something better than that. He don't understand that your soul leaves the body and it goes up there to be with the Lord when you die, and your body don't go to heaven until the rapture of the church. I'm telling you, that's why kids need Christ, because God can use them. One preacher went and knocked on a door one time, and this little old boy came to the door and he said, Mama said for me to tell you she wasn't here. That's how they'll get you. That's why a lot of people don't like kids. I will show you what happened in the Bible, how God can use kids. I need me a little boy. He gone. That is he in helping condition this morning? You know, help me come up here. He likes to get up here. Come up here, Ryan. Come up here, brother. You're the dude that owns all the steakhouses. No wonder you decked out, dressed like that. All right, Ryan. You stand right there. Now, and you gonna go to church this morning? All right. And you gonna go to church? Amen. Give me a handshake right there. Oh, he's gonna give me five. I'm sorry. They don't know how to shake hands nowadays. It's give me five. What really gets me is when they start all this stuff. I just stand there and look at him. Well, you going to shake my hand or not, boy? So I stand there like that. Old Ryan, now old Ryan's going to help me. One day, Jesus went out and he had all these people. Listen, boys and girls. He had big crowd of people, way more than what we got in here. And they didn't have no lights. They didn't have no building. They didn't have no air conditioning. Some of y'all went home right then because you thought you'd been persecuted for Christ. They didn't have no parking lot. They didn't have no... They walked and they all got out there. And the Bible said there was like 5,000 people. That is a lot of people. Most of you have never seen 5,000 people in one place unless you went somewhere like a professional ball game or the youth rally or something. And 5,000 people in one place. And guess what? There wasn't nothing to eat. Not too good of planning. They didn't make Woodstock than that crowd did. Nobody brought nothing to eat. It was Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and they was getting hungry, wasn't they? Man, they was getting hungry. So, the Lord looked up, and here's Jesus, and here's 5,000 people. What's He going to do? Well, the men of the church got together. That's always a problem getting ready to start, right there. Because half of them backslid, they make spiritual decisions, and half of them got selfish motives for the decision, the way they want the vote to go. You know how. I know, I've been pastoring a long time. The men of the church got together and said, well, we have a problem here. We're going to have to discuss. See, I don't know why he let us all out here with no problem. I don't mean to be talking about him or nothing, but why did I don't agree with him getting all these people out here and didn't even bring nothing to feed them. Looks like he could understand a lot of it. He said, all right, Jesus, would you like for us to go down to town? The nearest town down here is take us a day's journey. Come, we'll go to Kentucky Fried Chicken and we'll get some stuff. And he said, I just need everybody to sit down, please. Sit down, men. Made all the men sit down. And he said, there's a lad here. And he brought his lunch from home that morning. All right, here's your lunch. That's your lunch box. Look, you match. There's his lunch. And he brought his lunch. And Ryan, Mama gave him, he had 2 fish sticks and 5 hush puppies, loaves of bread. Ain't that what's in there? 2 fish sticks, you got, it ain't really, but you got to use your imagination.
That is tissue.
Yeah, it's tissue paper, right? But we're going to act like it's bread. All right? He had 2 fish sticks and 5 hush puppies. That ain't much. 5. This will not be on those books. Okay. All right. And everybody said, what are we going to do? And you know what little Ryan did? Ryan said, Jesus, I'll give you my lunch. And gave it to him. His mama packed that for him before he left. He's the only one out of them 5,000 people who had enough sense to bring something out there in the middle of the desert. And he brought his lunch and he gave it to Jesus. Think about it now. Deacon sitting down here. The guy that runs the grocery store sitting over here. The lady that works at the bank sitting over here. All the big shots put in all the money sitting over here. Them that drive the nice camels over in this section. Them that come on donkeys over here. Oh, where is that section? But they all, and here, little Rod, he didn't have nothing but his lunch. And you know what the Bible said? The Lord took what he had and blessed it. Father, I pray that you bless this little offering that Ryan gave us today and multiply it and use it for your glory. In my name, amen. And he looked back. He said, Ryan, you gave your lunch to Jesus. Now, men of the church, deacons, you can help me. And so, deacon, he starts serving. I'm going to serve you first, then you serve everybody else. Here's your son, man. Like a little fish stick. How you go, sir? Like a little flounder. Yeah. Oh, a little tater tots here, huh? A little tartar sauce on that, ma'am. We got all kinds of it here. Look at here. And you know, people said, well, he's done gave out 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Where's that keeper coming from? Where's that keeper coming from? Brother Slim, you better get you one there. Peanut, Mr. Clark, Barbara, hey, man, Dave, Michael, Rod, Brandon, and it just kept coming. There's 100, there's 200, there's 1,000, there's 2,000. And he just said, keep giving it out. You know what we don't understand? You know what the church world don't understand? They think, boy, if we had a famous singing group in here, we had this great boy. Listen, God don't need all that. He just needs little boys, little girls, mamas and daddies who will just take what we have and give it to Him. You take what you've got and give it to Him. And brother, He can do great things with it. Little as much when God is in it. When God gets in a little kid, think about this morning. Think about this message and go all over the world this morning. And people out in California and everywhere will hear me saying this and see little Ryan. Thank God he come to church this morning. Thank God he brought his lunch. Amen. Thank God the Lord used him to feed the multitude. The Lord used you to feed the multitude. Wow. Is that cool or what? I'm telling you. The Lord used him to feed the multitude. This is a multitude in here. I'm telling you, when you're that high, this looks like 5,000 people. So what? Here's what he done. He gave what he had to Jesus. Boys and girls, take what you've got. Can you sing? Sing for the Lord. Now this is up to you parents to to make sure your kids use their talent for Him. Don't let them grow up wanting to be a rapper or a rock singer. You say, well, they might get rich. They might get on drugs and die and go to hell too.
Right.
There's more important things than getting famous and rich. And that's being right with God and ready to leave this world, because you're going to leave. Didn't do old Robin Williams no good. It didn't do old Belushi no good, and Jimi Hendrix or Janis Joplin or John Lennon. It didn't do them no good. He took what he had and he gave it to the Lord. Can you sing? Sing for Jesus. Can you run that mouth? Run it for the Lord. You parents, find out what talent your kids got and push them to use that talent for God, for the Lord. Okay? He could have went fishing that day with his buddies. He said, nope, I want to go where Jesus is. He could have went to Carowinds that day. Now you didn't go to Carowinds today. You came to church and brought your stuff to you. That's a good boy. He could have went no telling where. But he brought what he had. That's why kids need Christ, y'all. Because the Lord can use them. Like he has this morning, okay? All right, let's give him a big hand. Go ahead and sit down, Ryan. Amen. Look here. Let me show you something else this morning. Let me show you something else. Number three. What did I say? Number one. The younger you come to God, the more trouble you'll save yourself in life. Number two. Kids can then be used by the Lord for His glory. Here's the sad, scary part. Number three. You know why we need to get these kids to Christ tonight? Because kids die. Kids die. And many times without Jesus. You say, preacher, I'm just 12 years old. I've never felt bad in my life. Kids 12 years old die every day in this world. I heard of a young man. And this boy was a perfect picture of health. He was out on the baseball field, just a young man. Nothing wrong with him. No pain, no aches, no nothing. They said the game was at a high pitch. It was close. The fans over here were screaming. Fans over there were screaming. He stood up there like that. Little boy, I think he's only like 12 years old. 11 or 12. In Little League or something. And he stood there like this, you know. Mama back here behind the fence screaming, come on, darling. Come on, you can do it. Come on. That pitch came down through there. That boy hit that thing like that. And he goes, smack. And when he does, that ball sails out. They know he's at least got a hit. He takes off running just as hard as he can. Hits first base like that. And the first base coach says, go, boy. They went right through the guy's legs out in the outfield. While he was running hard as he can. You know, when you're young like that, boy, I mean, I did it when I was young. I said, he turned it on with all his might. He went around second. He touched it. He hit third like that. And the guy fumbled the ball. And the guy said, go! He took off as hard as he could go toward home plate, and he kept going like this as hard as he could. And they said when his foot touched home plate like that, his heart exploded from the excitement and just the moment of that. And his heart evidently had a weak spot in it they didn't know about. And he fell in the face first in that dust. Just like that. Nothing wrong with him. Wasn't sick. Wasn't feeling bad. And I'm going to tell you something this morning. Kids die without Jesus sometimes. You say, oh, Brother Danny, a little child like that, they don't have... Listen, if they know they're sinning, and they know there's a God, and they know the gospel, and have been taught, and say, no, they're a lost sinner. I didn't write this, I'm just preaching it to you. They're responsible for their sins. Kids die without Christ. There was a girl who was training for the Olympics. She was about, I don't know, 14, something like that. She was training up to be an Olympic runner when she got bigger. Run all the time. She was staying with her granny during the summer, training for the running in the fall. She came in and told her grandma, she said, I got a headache. And her granny said, well, go upstairs and I'll get some, take your Tylenol, and I'll come up there and check on you in a little bit. She went upstairs, took a Tylenol, and when her granny came up, about an hour later, she was laying there stiff in the bed. Gone. I had an aneurysm. Sometimes a headache was a blood vessel bursting in her head. And anybody can have an aneurysm, anytime, no matter how healthy you are. You can be a weightlifter. You can be, I mean, you say, well, that's scary. It's a truth. It can happen just like that. And that blood vessel burst in her head and killed her. You know why we have services like we have tonight? Because of little girls like Valerie, who rode the bus over the old building over there before we moved over here and came to church one Sunday morning and got saved. And little Valerie was 12 years old. They brought me a paper one Sunday morning, a Morganton paper, and said, look, Brother Danny. And I looked at her and said, 12-year-old girl died. She got the flu. And they gave her too much medicine or the wrong mixture of two medicines. And she didn't wake up. 12 years old, had her picture. I said, that's Valerie. Right there on the front page of the paper. Listen, people, we're in the business. This is the business. This is the most important thing. I don't hesitate one second to say what goes on here tonight will be the most important thing in Burke County. I say that without fear of even worrying. Tonight, we'll bring boys and girls to Jesus because they die without the Lord. I wonder this morning, how do you stand? Where do you stand with the Lord? You say, Lord, preacher, I'm 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years old. Where do you stand with the Lord? People die. People die every day. Let's make sure we're in Jesus. Let's stand by our heads for prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed.